Okay. Thank you for coming. And please give me a mercy with my English. A gift for life, I call this sermon, A Gift for Life, from the series Encounters with Jesus. If you had a chance to drink water for a well or a spring, which will you choose? Okay, let's learn together. Today, we are looking at what happened when Jesus met a Samaritan woman at the well. John presents the story as Jesus slowly reveals who is he as a great one, the giver of the living water, and one worthy of worship. Jesus came to make disciples. His purpose was to tell the good news. He was traveling from Judea to Galilee. Was a coincidence that he passed by at that time? No. The text shows in verse 4, now we had to go through Samaria. There was a plan, one like all Jesus' plans. That is a good one, in which he will continue to fulfill the purpose for which he was on earth to save, and use the circumstances to leave a mark on those that he met. There was a well, and the Lord sat next to it, tired after a long walk. Here in John shows two things. One, the humanity of Jesus, who was tired after a long journey walking, about 6 hours from Judea to Samaria. It is natural that he would be tired. It was the hottest hour of the day. And two, an opportunity to talk to a woman who was about to arrive, and who has to experience this. It seems that the Lord used circumstances to make himself known in our life. It happened to me when I was 14. I really liked a neighbor, a boy who was 1 or 2 years older than me. I turned out that his family invited me to go to a church, and that is where my journey began. It didn't fully commit myself to Lord at that time, nor to the boy. But when talking to his family and their church, I knew that God was more than a lot of rules to obey. I do remember that the Lord did so that you would know about his experience. Do you remember that the Lord did so that you would know about his experience? This shows that we are also part of his plan. Jesus knew that the woman would arrive at the well, and as he knew her past, he knew she would arrive at an unusual hour to draw water. This woman had no friends and accompanied her and arrived at the time when the well was alone. She would not meet anyone. She was avoiding social interaction by choice or because of rejection. Here at the place where she needed to get water, there was a man, our Lord, who, breaking the ice, asked her, "Will you give me a drink?" John, at this moment in the story, tells us about Jesus was not with his disciples, because it was not common for a man to speak with a woman, and especially if she was a Samaritan woman. The woman was surprised that Jesus spoke to her, not just because he was a man, but also because he was a Jewish man. I don't know if it was because of his accent or the way Jesus was dressed that alerted her to this, but in verse 9 says, these two social groups, Jews and Samaritans, have nothing in common, to the point of not even talking to each other. The difference basically refers to the way they worship God. You can read about this in 2 Kings 17, 24 to 34, if you want. That is why she doesn't understand why this Jew asks her for something and lets him know with a question, not to remind Jesus that he must keep his distance. Have we put limits between us and the Lord? It's a time areas in certain areas of our lives, such as we might say to the Lord, he can be in our pain and suffering because he comforts. But when we plan something in our life, we don't let him because we think we know best. I think in my case, it happens to me when the use of time, when I have to be ready for a set time hour because we are going to walk, to go for a walk or visit someone or go to a play group, I usually arrive late and make my family late because I get distracted a lot and I don't focus. I have not given the Lord 100% that area of my life. Although since living here in England, the Lord has used it to help me to improve a lot. I'm still growing, and I know that even with all this, the Lord loves me and has been very patient, and that has helped me to believe that I can. If this is your case in any area of your life, do not be discouraged, because the Lord will use everything possible to let you that he wants something to you, with you or with that specific area of your life. Returning to our text, the question that the woman asked was with the aim to stopping the conversation. But Jesus, in his perfect plan, used the question to deepen the conversation. He did not take into account the cultural code, but instead use it to continue the conversation, and his answer to the question begins to show who is he and why he is there. The words as deep as the verse 10 in the paper number 1. Who got the paper number 1?
Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water.
Thank you. Jesus used the idea of drinking water as a physical necessity and brought into the comment of the gift of God, thus making a spiritual theme. Jesus presents himself as someone carrying a gift, as a someone important whom the woman can ask for, and he will give something better, living water. The water of a well is stank. Jesus refers to a fresh water, like that of a spring that was alive constantly, which flows This is the opposite of stand water, of a well. Jesus used this as a metaphor to refer to the Holy Spirit too. In John 7:37-38, paper number 2.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them, from within them."
Thank you. And the brag at the background, God is as the provider of the source of the true life. In the paper number 3.
Isaiah 12:3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Thank you. Such a statement surprises her. Jesus is saying God has a gift for her, and if she knew who he was, she would ask him for it. Will you resist receiving a gift? No, of course not. The Lord gives that hint to her, and he is someone big, that he is someone big who can give her something big because she needs it. Because of the Lord answers, she is confused. A Jew without a rope or bucket or get that living water, because she believes that living water will come out of that well. She also doesn't think that Jesus is as important as Jacob and his family and animals that drank from that water. The response of this woman, although wrong, as the judgment she makes to Jesus, of Jesus, the clings to what she knows, doesn't let go, and doesn't believe that Jesus is as important as he says, and even less. You can give her even less. So can give her that living water he is offering. And I ask if there anything we are holding unto that does not let Jesus give us his source of life. Jesus wants her to ask for it. Could Jesus give it to her without asking? Yes, of course. But if that were the case, there would be no understanding of that gift. How many times have you been offering things on the street or in a supermarket, such a free sample or tester, but you don't receive it because it doesn't seem interesting or necessary? This is what's happening. Jesus knew that she wanted to feel satisfied, and he wanted to quench her thirst. Jesus knows that we thirst every day, wherever we know him and have a relationship with him, or if that encounter with Jesus has not yet happened. He knows our need. So in the text, Jesus continues to increase deep in his words by showing more of himself. Let's read verse 13 in the paper number 4.
He answered and said unto her, "Everyone that drinketh of this water shall thirst again."
Here Jesus is showing that the water he is offering is not in the well, because every day you need to take water from there. He was talking about something deeper that has to do with the thirst and she had that only he can meet, which is why he says, "You filled which is why he says you feel thirsty for something else, not a physical thirst. Jesus tells her of the Holy Spirit, which was promised much early, as Isaiah 44, verse 3, and in the paper number 5.
For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children.
Says in the Old Testament, using the symbolisms of water, referring to it as one that quenches thirst. It was a promise that was being fulfilled in Jesus, because it is only who, by providing the water, this becomes eternal life. John clearly connects the effect of eternal life with the activity of the Holy Spirit, as seen in John 6:63 in paper number 6.
The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life.
This is the effect is only given by the Spirit. Hearing this, she agrees with the Lord. She wants that water in order not to get water back at the well. She wants to feel satisfied. She wants Jesus to give her his water. The woman finally asked for water, but she had not yet grasped the spiritual sense. It seems that she just wanted to receive and continue as she was living. And this misunderstanding leads Jesus to better explanations. To help her understand, he asks a personal question. Jesus says, "Go, call your husband and come back." Why did Jesus ask this? Because it was something important in her life. Because he wanted to get to her heart. Jesus knew that where was a moral blockage and didn't allow her to see the spiritual sense that Jesus was talking about. And he showed her that he knows her and knows of her sin. That for him, she is not a stranger, nor is someone to avoid. He knows the most intimate of her life. The woman answered, "I have no husband." Although she hides the fact that she is living with someone, she does not lie to him, and Jesus knows this. Like our text says in verse 17 and 18, in paper number 7.
"I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands. And the man you now have is a husband. What you have just said is quite true."
Jesus mentions her past, the number of husbands she has had. And is that important? Yes, because that we are today is the result of our attempt to better everything that was happened. What she lives in that moment is the result of her attempt to improve her past. Each husband was her attempt at happiness, but unfortunately, each husband and her current lover are wrong set and Ruth the criticisms of her neighbors, and she was now avoiding each husband generate a bigger void that she wanted to fill with the next. It was not bad that she tried to be happy, but on that she tried to void, her happiness did not satisfy her, and every change of husband showed this. But Jesus did not stay in the past and mentions the present. She was alone at the well because she was ashamed of her past and her present. She wasn't married to the man she was with. And Jesus mentions all this to show her moral and spiritual need. Show her again that he is important because he knows her past and that he knows it since before they saw each other at the well. The gospel will always show us that we are sinners, and God's plan of salvation is to save us from the sin that stuck us. Jesus in Genesis 4:6-7 speaks of that reality. We are all exposed to that because there is not one who does not sin. And meeting Jesus and responding to his gift of salvation can help us control and overcome it again and again. Well, as we see, Jesus confronts her with her sin and loved her. He did not turn away. He knew from the beginning who she was and loved her, offering her living water, water that could have an effect, as the Old Testament says in Ezekiel 36:25-27, paper number 8.
I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and your heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
That was part of the plan since before he saw her, quench her. She, on seeing now Jesus' response, began to recognize him importance and that he was a prophet. In seconds, he made her see his life, and that gave her confidence to talk about deeper themes, worship. She returns to the issue, to the difference between Jews and Samaritans, but this time not to keep Jesus away, but to seek clarity. She mentions the mountain where they worship as Samaritans, and the conviction of the Jews that they worship elsewhere. Jesus answered with a profound wisdom in verse 21-24, the paper number 9.
Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. Salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers God seeks. For the Spirit and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth.
using the expression, "The time is coming," since she was accept him as a prophet, and that was the way of speaking of the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus clarifies that the place of worship has lost importance, that is, that physical part. That if on the mountain of, or if in Jerusalem, the place is no longer the important to worship. It shows the importance of knowing who to worship by demonstrating that it is the Jews who are clear that the Samaritan in who to worship, and the salvation comes through the Jews, not referring to all Jews being salvate, but from them comes the Savior. Jesus shows her, completing the picture of the answer to her question. True worship comes through the worshippers who do it from the deeps of their being and sincerely. God, that both Jews and Samaritans want to worship, wants worshippers like this because he is like that, spirit. And only in Jesus is that harmony achieved, because Jesus has united us with the Father. That great space that sin made, that empathy and lack of fulfillment was crossed by Jesus. Only in Jesus is that harmony achieved, because Jesus has united us with the Father. Faced with this profound response, the woman was nothing more to say. Maybe she was confused with so many words. Perhaps you are too with this talk. She knows that a Messiah will come, a Savior, who will explain those things. Once again, it seems that she knows the scriptures. Jesus, upon hearing it, finally reveals himself, like the verse 28 said in the paper number 10.
Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
He's the Messiah that she and her people are waiting for. Jesus' response evokes Exodus 3:14, where God makes himself known to Moses and as God, "I am who I am." God himself is there presenting himself before her, so human that he is tired and asks for water, so God that he is worthy of worship. The people who avoid her could consider this woman impure because of her life, but the Lord had to stop by to meet her because he loved her, because it was his plan, because all people he saw in his visit to this world, a Samaritan woman was worthy of seeing and talking to him. The Lord was never impatient with her minus understanding of his presentation. Time after time, the Lord showed her who was he, a great one, the giver of living water, one worthy of worship. We know that after that encounter, she was not the same. Her fear of people was gone. She went and gave testimony of that she lived, and many believed. rivers of living water ran out from her after encountering with Jesus. We can reflect on this woman. We won't understand everything, and maybe we resist God in certain ways, but we hope that the Lord will reveal his will to us through day-to-day encounter with him. We want that living water, and so sometimes even with our lives in complete chaos, we can count on his forgiveness. What will we do then? We will continue to water from the well that does not quench our thirst and make us survive day by day, or we will go to the source of life and let rivers of living water from within. Let's pray.